Amen. Good morning. Just a reminder again that we do have a member meeting on Tuesday at 7 p.m. So please come. We want all members to be at the member meeting, and we will gather together and see what the Lord has for us in that time. If you would open your copy of the Word of God to Luke, again this morning, Luke chapter 5. We'll be reading from verse 12 through 16 this morning. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Let's hear the Word of God. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. Father, we come once again to your word, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring light and life, that you would wound and that you would heal, that you would tear down and that you would build up. Father, that you would expose and that you would cover over. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. On this short text this morning, we want to see one main thing. The thing that I hope that we see this morning is that Jesus restores men and women, boys and girls, to worship and fellowship by making the filthy clean. Jesus restores men and women, boys and girls, to worship and fellowship by making the filthy clean. First thing we need to see in this passage is that we see a man. See him there in verse 12. Jesus is in one of the cities, and there came a man. We see him unrecognizably coming through the crowd because his hair is long and unkempt, rags are hanging upon his body. The crowd is parting to make way for this man, not because he's honorable, not because he's famous, not because they want him to have a clear path, but because they want nothing to do with him. They want to be nowhere near him. And as we see this man, perhaps we hear his words, his voice crying out, "Unclean, unclean." As he makes his way through the crowd, we see a man. We see his desperate condition. As he gets a little bit closer, we not only see his shaggy hair and his tattered clothes, we begin to see upon his skin raw sores, skin disease that's evident and obvious to all those around, festering wounds. The text calls it leprosy. And we know that biblically leprosy covers a range of skin diseases, but serious skin diseases and regularly incurable skin diseases. It's no small physical discomfort that this man is facing. But the physical discomfort is not the heart of his problem. The physical discomfort does not get at the desperation of his condition. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 13, there's extended instructions for the priest in how to identify a leprous condition in a person. In Leviticus chapter 13, there's extended descriptions of various kinds of evidence of leprosy upon a person. And if something is there, they're to present themselves to the priest, and the priest makes examination. And according to Scripture, the priest is called to make a determination. Is this indeed leprosy? And if this condition is leprosy, the job of the priest is to make a pronouncement. The job of the priest is to make a pronouncement. He is to pronounce the individual unclean. Now, what does that mean to you and to me, someone to be pronounced unclean? Do they need to go and have a special bath? Do they need to get antibiotic ointment? Under the Old Covenant, worship was regulated very carefully in order to protect the holy place of God. God had determined to live amongst his people and had promised to make his presence dwell in the midst of first the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and then the temple that was built. And the religious life of Israel was centered around guarding the holy place. And nothing unclean could come into the holy place. And so the first aspect of the desperation of the condition of this man is the reality that he has been pronounced by a priest unclean, and he has been cut off from access to the worship of the living God. He is not permitted to enter the temple. He is not permitted to gather with the congregation and proclaim the praises of the Lord. He is not permitted to have access to the dwelling place of God. His desperate condition has cut him off from worship. But that's not the end of his desperation in his condition. His desperate condition has cut him off from fellowship. His desperate condition has cut him off from fellowship. Not only does he not have access to worship, but we read in Leviticus 13:45 that the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean, and he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. His condition is desperate because he's cut off from worship, but he's also cut off from fellowship. He is not permitted inside the camp. Just like the, if you want to imagine the picture of the shame of this reality, the scapegoat upon whom's head was confessed the sins of the people was sent outside of the camp. That which is impure, that which is unclean, that which is sinful must be put out of the camp, can have no access to God and can have no fellowship with the people. This is the desperate condition of this man. Do we see this man? You imagine yourself in that situation. Your shame exposed for all to see. No access to God and no fellowship with people. This is the desperation of his condition, not the physical reality, but that reality that he is cut off from worship and he is cut off from fellowship. And as we see this man, we need to see not only his desperate condition, but then as we walk into this text, we see him coming. And we observe his desperate condition. We begin to feel the situation that he is in. But then we see his humble petition. You notice what happens there as we come through verse 12. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him. We see his humility. This man approaches Jesus of Nazareth. And he comes up to him, and there is no pretensions about this man. There is no pomp or ceremony. This man knows his desperate condition. He knows exactly the situation that he is in, and in humility, he comes, and he falls on his face, and he begs the Lord. We see his humility in his action. But we also see his faith in this petition. We see his faith in this petition. You see what he says? He fell on his face and begged him, Lord, Lord. Remember, thus far in the gospel, only Peter, in seeing God clearly displayed in the glory of Jesus' miracle, sees himself truly and falls on his face and addresses Jesus as Lord. This is the second time now this leper comes. He falls on his face, he begs him, and he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. This man comes to Jesus. We don't know if he has seen Jesus working in the past. We don't know where he has heard of Jesus, but he clearly has heard of Jesus. And not only has he heard of Jesus, but he knows something about Jesus. And he expresses it here in his petition as he falls down on his face before him begging, simply saying, if you will, you can heal me. Here is a man who has no doubts about the ability of Jesus Christ to deal with his desperate condition. Here is a man who comes not wondering, maybe, you know, I saw him do this kind of work over here and I heard him teach about this over here. Maybe he could handle my situation too. No, this man comes with a humble face, prostrating himself before the Lord and simply saying, if you will, you can heal me. There's no presumption with this man. You notice he doesn't come say, Lord, heal me. He has no special word from the Lord that his individual case will be dealt with by Jesus, but he knows that in Jesus resides the power to make him clean. And so we see his desperate condition, and then we see his humble, faith-filled petition. And remember what he is asking. Here's a man who has been cut off from the worship of God through this leprous disease. Here's a man who has been cut off from fellowship with people and the people of God. And he comes before Jesus. He addresses him as Lord. And he says, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, Jesus. You can restore me to worship. You can restore me to fellowship. You can make me whole again. So we see a man. But having seen a man, his desperate condition and his humble petition, you need to see yourself. We need to see ourselves. You need to see yourself, and I need to see myself. This man, by his uncleanness, has been cut off from worship and held out of fellowship. And friends, this morning, brothers and sisters, this morning, we need to see ourselves in this man. Our sin does not only make us guilty before the righteous judge of the universe, but it makes us dirty before the radiance of purity himself. Our sin does not only make us guilty before the righteous judge of the universe, but it makes us dirty before the bright radiance of purity himself. If you considered some of the descriptions of our state in uncleanness due to our sin, it's pervasive. Isaiah 1:6, the Lord says, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Isaiah 59:3 says, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. Jesus Christ, addressing the people in Matthew 15:18, says, it's what comes out of the mouth that proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Murderous thoughts, theft, violence, sexual immorality, adultery, gossip, slander, things like these are what defile a person. We must see ourselves in that man. I don't know what it is for you, kids. Maybe you lied to mom and dad last week or last month, and you've never told them the truth, and pricks at your conscience once in a while. Our sin makes us guilty, but it also makes us dirty. You can imagine yourself, mom puts on the clean clothes, and you're all waiting. It's summertime, so you're waiting outside. You're going to get in the car. Mom says, don't step in the puddles. And of course, you're a kid. You see the puddle, and you jump in. And there comes the mud splashed up on you. And you think, you know, I'll just deal with this quickly. I'll just handle it. I'll just wipe it off. And what happens? Now a few spots have smeared around on your clothes, and now you're covered with filth. And friends, this is us in our sin, and this is us as we try to deal with ourselves. We are as unable to deal with the filthiness and dirtiness of our sin as that leper was unable to deal with his uncleanness in his leprosy. He could not say, "Get off from me." He could not bathe enough time to make himself well. He could not cover himself with anything to hide his filth. No, there was nothing he could do. Do you see your desperate condition? Do you see your dirtiness? Sin, undealt with, as God has provided for in His Word, sin, undealt with, as God has provided for in His Word, cuts us off from true and living worship and cuts us off from real and genuine fellowship. And brothers and sisters, this past week, the Lord has exposed in me a deep pride in wanting to be seen as more spiritual than I am. A deep pride in not seeking out the help of my brothers and sisters to deal with my own sins and failures. There was a specific situation where I knew I needed to make confession and seek forgiveness. And as I did that, the Lord just pulled back by His Spirit His curtain on my life. And I saw so much emptiness and so much prayerlessness and a lack of addressing the reality of my conscience, things that pricked my conscience even all the way back 13 years ago. But by His Spirit, He's allowed me to walk into the light. He's allowed me to make confession. He's allowed me to seek forgiveness. And some of you have received emails from me. I've talked to some of you. I'm sure there'll be more. Brothers and sisters, we need to see that man. And then we need to see our desperate condition in Him. But I'm not here this morning to tell you about myself. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Because the last thing that we need to see is we need to see Jesus. You notice that's what happens here. The man is coming along with all his filth and all his uncleanness. Things he cannot deal with himself, but then he saw Jesus. And he approached Jesus and he said, "Lord, if you will, be clean." And as we see Jesus in this passage, we see first in his actions a deep compassion. Mark tells us that he was moved with pity. Luke shows us that he was. Do you see what he does there in verse 13? Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. It is genuinely possible that this man would not have had another human contact him for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. We have no idea how long he was in this condition. We have no idea how long he was in this condition. But see the deep compassion of Jesus. Friends, when you come with your uncleanness to Jesus with the attitude of this leper in desperation with no pretensions and with faith, Jesus, far from saying away from me, far from dealing with you at a distance, He will come right up to you and He will put His hand on you because Jesus is a friend of sinners. See His deep compassion. But see in His words His willing heart. the thing that every single one of us, if the Spirit has awakened our conscience, if the Spirit has brought our sin to our hearts and mind, the thing that every single one of us has dealt with in some capacity, as we see our own sin and we see the dirtiness of it, in some way we have sat in the darkness and wondered, even if we've seen that Jesus can, we've wondered if he will. See Jesus this morning. He will. Every time he will. See his willing heart. What does he say? Not only does he put his hand upon this man and touch him, he says, I will be clean. Friend, what have you been living with in your conscience? Something that lies undealt with in the way that God has provided in his word. Some slander against someone that you have never made right. Some sin against your spouse or against your children or against a friend. Something you stole yesterday or 3 years ago that you have never confronted, you have never addressed. What is the uncleanness that clings to you this morning? Oh, that you would see Jesus. That you would call out to him in faith, that you would see his compassion, and that you would know his willing heart. Through his actions and through his words, we see his power to purify. We see his power to purify. You go back to those priests in the temple. They had a job. Their job was to make a determination according to the word of God and then a pronouncement, and that is all. Yes, that is leprosy. You are unclean. Go out from the worship of God and go away from fellowship with the people of God. Why? Because they needed, according to the word of God, to guard the holiness of God in his holy place. But in Jesus, there's a different kind of holiness. In Jesus, there's a different manifestation of holiness. Here is a holiness that cannot be defiled by the unclean, but rather in turn reaches toward that which is filthy, and when he touches it and when he speaks words, what he says happens, and immediately this man is clean. What the priests had no power to do, Jesus does in a second and with a word, and he does that for his people now, this morning. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus? He comes to restore men like you, women like you, a man like me, children like you, in his grace and mercy to worship and to fellowship. Have you been walking along, even as a believer, with sin that's undealt with, and your worship is hindered, and you feel like though you are interacting, you're in the midst of people, but there is something going on there. There's a distance. It's because it's inevitable. The uncleanness of our sin separates us from true worship, and it separates us from real living fellowship. Do you see that connection in those two verses from John? If we walk in the light, if we confess our sins, we have fellowship with God and with each other. And brothers and sisters, I have known a restoration of that fellowship this week. Just merely being in the presence of a brother or sister and knowing there's nothing there. It's been dealt with by the Spirit of God and the power of the blood of Jesus. Please come on into that reality. Do you see Jesus? He comes to restore you to worship and to fellowship. And the conviction, perhaps, that you're feeling right now, the impulse to run back and hide a little bit longer, to hide a little bit more, the lie that in coming out with your sin, your shame would be magnified, is a lie from the pit of hell. This man exposed his shame to all. He was willing to come right into the heart of the city and have the crowds part around him, back off from his uncleanness, because he knew that Jesus was there. Coming into the light will not make your shame worse. It will take it away forever. And that Spirit who's bringing those things up in your mind and heart right now, he's not just the Spirit who convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He is the Spirit that opens blind eyes to Jesus. He opens hearts to receive Jesus with real faith. If you come to Jesus hoping that he will give you relief from your guilty conscience so that you can continue on in sin, you're not coming in faith. You take Jesus for what he offers, or you don't take him at all. But what he offers you is cleansing and forgiveness and adoption and restoration and life abundantly. Oh, friends, oh, brothers and sisters, oh, Jesus, would you do us in this place? Would you do this for us? Would you do this in us? Oh, Spirit of God, would we see Jesus? It's in his name I pray. Amen.